Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you for another 2 hours, taking you up until 10 o'clock. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in, talking about Jaden Daniels and looking ahead to next year, looking at what we've seen this year. Do you feel any differently about Jaden going forward? Do you feel drastically differently about Jaden going forward? When you look at what he's done this season, you look at some of the numbers. So here's some of the changes, just going from last year to this year, just looking at Jaden's numbers. And obviously the big number, wins and losses, games played, but specifically just looking at some of the numbers and stats of him last year versus this year. Pass yards per game went down by almost 30, 209.9 to 180.3. Yards per attempt went down from 7.4 to 6.7. The completion percentage went down from 69% to 60.6%. I don't care as much about some of the analytics and some of those numbers, but EPA per dropback went down from a plus 0.13 to a negative 0.04. Time to throw more time this year, 2.68 last year to 2.79 this year. Quarterback pressure percentage went up from 30.9 to 35.5. Looking at his rushing numbers, they've also gone down. Rush yards per game went from, or yards per carry went from 6 to 4.8. Rushing yards over expected, plus 1.3 last year to minus 0.6. EPA per attempt, again, I don't necessarily put as much into some of these numbers, but plus 0.45 last year to plus 0.05 this year. Here's an interesting one that I think could play a little bit of a factor into some of the injuries this year. Inside rush percentage went from 18.9% last year to 29.3% this year. So that number went up significantly of him running inside. But I look at this year for Jaden as more of a blip on the radar. I know some people are going to look at it and try to find some things about, oh man, Jaden is not going to be that guy. Jaden, there are not many quarterbacks, even guys that have had good careers, there are not many quarterbacks that have played at the level that Jaden Daniels was playing at down the stretch of last season and into the playoffs. And it's not to say that even some of the guys that have been really good quarterbacks, not to say that they won't have better careers than Jaden. Who knows? We'll see how it plays out. But to see the level at which he played last season, I have a hard time believing that was just a fluke. Because the way that he was playing last year, it wasn't fluky football. It wasn't something that was fully gimmicky. I've talked about this before. When Cam Taylor-Britt, for week 3 against Cincinnati, talked about the college offense and this and that, there are collegey things to the way that they run plays. There are collegey concepts that they run. There are collegey things that they do. I don't view that as a slight. I know he might have meant it as a slight. I don't view it as a slight. It's stuff that works, right? I don't really care what it is. You could run the wishbone as long as it works. I really don't care what offense you're running or what it looks like as long as it works. Jaden was able to make it work with Cliff Kingsbury last season, and they added some stuff in and need to adjust some things, but that stuff doesn't bother me. The stuff that he was running, even though it was quote-unquote college-y, or if you take offense to that, it's not, you know, Shanahan style. It's not, you know, one of these advanced NFL offensive styles, I don't care. It was effective and worked. So whatever they were doing last year, to me, it's not like the RG3 thing, where when you watched RG3 in 2012, I was too young to fully feel this. I was obviously aboard the train like a lot of us were with the emotional roller coaster that followed after the 2012 season. But when you look back on that, you understand that, okay, just give it a little bit of time and they'll figure out this read option thing. NFL defenses just need a little bit of time seeing something, and they'll at least figure out a way that they can start defending this a little bit better, right? You look at San Francisco and Colin Kaepernick and the year that he had with the Niners. He was spectacular. I remember watching him just run all over the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs and getting the team to the Super Bowl. He moved on from Alex Smith for him, right? I mean, look at what he was able to do, and look where his career went after that. He wasn't the same quarterback. They figured some stuff out, but it wasn't, I wouldn't say gimmicky, but it was a new concept that wasn't popular in the pros, that was popular in college. And as time went on, defenses figured out a little bit better way to stop that. And so that it wasn't so, as the kids would say, OP. It wasn't as overpowered and something that you were able to exploit the defense like you were the previous season. And so for Robert, right, like once they figured that out, he wasn't able to be that same guy. I don't think what Jaden was doing last year was gimmicky. He was completing passes from the pocket.
No, it was the pistol offense that was new at the time. It's the same thing Kaepernick was running too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, people just didn't know how to deal with it quite yet.
Correct. It was a new thing. It was something that...
It was like when Wildcat took over the league for like half a season.
Exactly.
You know?
And it was just something that teams weren't accustomed to seeing. When I look at Jaden last year, what's gimmicky about the pass to De'Ami Brown against the Detroit Lions? What's gimmicky about the pass to Terry McLaurin against Cincinnati in week three? Nothing. That's football. That's a pass that Tom Brady would make. That's a pass that Peyton Manning would make. That's a pass that Drake May would make. Right, like those are the sorts of pocket pass type of plays. I ain't worried about Jaden being able to do that again. Now, the criticisms of this season are very, very real. They are. He struggled this year, there's no question. I saw glimpses of a little bit of what we saw last year in the second half of that Chargers game. Go back and watch it if you missed it or can't remember. But second half of that Chargers game was like, oh, there he is. That's the guy that we saw last year. And I didn't see enough of that this year. That was disappointing. But I think we're going to look back on this season and feel more of, man, what happened that year? That stinks, injuries and all that. And in 10 years, we look at this season as the anomaly, not more of the regular or the downfall of Jaden Daniels. Whereas you got to 2013 with Robert, and that was the start of the downfall, right? You look back and 2012 was amazing, and then it was like everything was downhill after that.
Well, I mean, the injuries to him were more severe.
Also, part of the point, right? With Jaden, it's been an elbow injury, which, by the way, if he's going to have an elbow injury...
Non-throwing arm.
Correct. If he's going to have an elbow injury, please be on the non-throwing arm. And by the way, if he's going to have an appendage injury, that's the best appendage to have it to. I don't want it to be to either of his knees. I don't want it to be to his throwing arm. So he's avoided the major injury like I was talking about and Chris brought up right there with RG3. I mean, he had significant injuries. But we
some of that was the field condition they had him running into.
Correct.
I mean, that's a whole thing. But
we look back at 2012, though, right? And that was fantastic, but then you're like, it went downhill from there. I don't think in 15, 20 years, we're going to be looking back at this and go, 2024, man. I mean, can you remember that? The NFC Championship run, man, it was all downhill from there. I don't think that's what we're going to do.
It's like the Derrick Rose career.
Correct.
Yeah, like that's, you know, I don't think that's what it's going to be either, you know.
I think we'll get back. Does Jaden ever recapture that level of play? I think he'll get there. Maybe he doesn't.
Barring severe injury, I think so.
Yeah, I think he gets back there. But even say if he doesn't, I don't think it's going to be something where we go, man, that 1 year was fun and he stunk the rest of his career like we do with Robert. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he can recapture some of the magic that he had last year because I think he's a good NFL quarterback. I think he can do NFL quarterback things. And his superpower is that he can do those NFL quarterback things while being arguably the best running quarterback in the league with Lamar Jackson, right? Like those sorts of guys. He's a different runner than, say, Josh Allen or Drake May and those bigger quarterbacks, but he's right there with those guys as being one of the best runners in the league when he's healthy, and he can still throw from the pocket. Now, you can't dismiss this year that there were times guys were open and he was not throwing them the football. He didn't see it well. I'm not dismissing that because there are some times where I'd look and be like, man, Jaden, that guy's there. You got to get rid of the football.
I'd like to know if he's still using the VR stuff.
Well, and that's something that's very curious.
I haven't heard anyone talk about it this season. And I'm like, was he still using that? It looked like he was reading a little slower and stuff. And that was kind of, everyone's like, oh, that's correct. His secret up his sleeve was he was doing his VR and scouting all these things, you know, ahead of time playing the teams at 1.25 speed. And then like this year, I didn't hear nothing about that. Like, did he stop or does he still do it? And no one's talking about it. Like,
I'd be very interested in that. I completely agree on that. I tend to believe that he's probably still doing it, but we haven't heard anything. So I don't know definitively what happened to that or why we haven't heard anything about that. But I think he'll get back to that high level of play. I have confidence in the individual. I have confidence in the player. But there's no doubt that there were some downfalls this season where he just didn't trust it. I mean, even getting outside the pocket, he's getting outside the pocket to run this year versus as the season went on last year and he grew as a passer, he was getting outside the pocket to pass the football and be a playmaker and get the ball to his weapons. I think we've seen even a couple games ago, he got outside of the pocket to the right, and Terry McLaurin's open past the sticks. Now, the specific example I'm thinking about was a 3rd-and-2, ended up rushing for the first down, so nothing wrong with the play. And maybe he'd say, well, anytime you put the ball in the air, there's a chance that something goes wrong with it, right? Terry drops it, I throw it slightly inaccurately, whatever it may be, 3rd-and-2, let me just tuck the ball and run for the first down. Maybe so, but we saw too many examples of that this year where he'd get outside the pocket and eyes were down looking at the defenders versus trying to find somebody down the field still and passing the football. That's stuff that's all fixable. And to me, that's stuff where he's just rusty or he's not in a rhythm. And I think that running a training camp next year that is a legit training camp, having him play some in the preseason, and then having guys practice on Wednesdays, God forbid, right? Having your players out there on a practice, I don't want to see 5 and 6 guys in IR rest. No. Play football, practice football, please. I think if you do those things, you'll see Jaden get back to more of the guy we saw last year versus this year. 800-636-1067, want to get to your phone calls next. Look at Jaden Daniels this year. As you go into next year, did your opinion drastically change on Jaden? If so, how do you feel about him going forward? What's your confidence level that he can get back to what we saw at the end of last year when he was playing at a top 5 level in this league? 800-636-1067. More to come here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
This is the song that when it finally hits that Christmas music should be playing, which is after Thanksgiving, by the way, when it finally hits that you can listen to Christmas music, this is the first one I listen to every single time. Little Mariah Carey, get you in the music or get you in the mood for Christmas. Yeah.
I find it interesting that every year this song goes back on the singles charts every Christmas season.
It's so good. It's so good. Mariah
I feel
Carey.
Like it's kind of the modern, like there's all these old ones that we know, like Bing Crosby and whatever. And like, this is kind of like the modern classic.
Yeah. Like there's plenty of ones I want to hear, but the first one I want to hear when it's finally Christmas time is this one. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Talking about Jaden Daniels, did your opinion on him change this season? And if it did, is it a drastic change? We're suddenly going, eh. I thought it was interesting listening to Grant and Danny talk about this. And Danny isn't sure or isn't as high that he's going to recapture the same magic that we saw at the end of last year. And I would say that I'm still pretty confident he's going to get back to that point. 800-636-1067. Harold is in D.C. Harold, what's going on?
Hey, fellas. My opinion has not drastically changed. I think of his rookie year as a baseline where he didn't know the NFL. The NFL didn't know him. The difference is this year the NFL adjusted and we didn't. We ran the same stuff while they adjusted to what we were going to run. And, like, Jaden's a student of the game. That's where the VR and all that stuff comes from. But that student can only do what his teacher teaches him. So I put it all on coaching more than anything else. Like, they have to adjust their game plan to maximize his potential.
Appreciate the phone call, Harold. Yeah, that's interesting. I do feel like you obviously saw a different approach. One thing that I think they did a fantastic job of this year, defenses, that is, against Jaden Daniels, is they did a much better job against him as a runner. You know, last year there were times when it felt like, okay, he's able to get out and find some angles. And this year it felt like even when he wanted to run and even when he did take off to run, there wasn't as much green grass to take advantage of. And so I think teams did a better job of that. I'd be curious, you know, I know football, I think decently well. I don't know it as much as obviously guys that worked in the pros. And I'd be curious to hear some experts' opinions on how different this year's offense was and how many layers were added to this year's offense and what kind of wrinkles defenses showed, maybe that gave Jaden some struggles. I don't disagree with what he brought up. The only thing that I would say back to that, there are some times and definitely some examples where there are guys that are open that Cliff had either schemed open or they'd won their one-on-one matchup or whatever it may be. But there have been some opportunities this year where guys were open and Jaden just was not throwing the football to them, and that's going to happen every season. You're going to miss some, but it was much more this year than what you saw last year in terms of missing guys, not throwing it to the right guy, not being accurate, throwing it to the right guy, or whatever it may be. So those, to me, aren't necessarily all the defense figured him out. But I do think there might be some of that, and specifically the place that it showed up the most to me was being able to limit his legs this year and make sure that he doesn't run wild on your team. Marvin is in Landover. Marvin, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you know something? I have a lot of points. I hope I can get to most of them tonight. But I just want to first say, I heard one caller call in earlier about Terry McLaurin getting his money. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, man, I understand football in this respect. You are going to get injured in football. Get your money when you can. There's a finite amount of years. Whoever begrudges anybody like that, I don't think I have a lot of respect for that. That's just kind of silly to me. I mean, Terry, this is his last big contract. This is his family. This is his life. And you can't do what he can do. So I'm kind of mad that anybody ever said that. Jaden Daniels, I believe everything about this young man. I think that I'm not really afraid of injuries. I think this is more of the outlier year. I want him to put on maybe 8 to 12 pounds this year and continue to work on that. So, like, after year 5, he's 230 or 225 or something like that. Don't put it all on at once, because if he does, he'll probably lose some of that speed. We really don't want that either. So I just need him to bulk up gradually, keep working on his body. I think that'll be fine. Adam Peters, oh, my God. Adam Peters did us a disservice by arguing with Terry McLaurin. It was ridiculous. He was a vibes guy. And, I mean, Terry's the heart and soul of the team. And why would you argue with him? He deserved his money. He played with Heineke and bums for years. He deserved his money, and that was a bad choice on him. He came in here with that, I got to be this new age GM, and I got to make sure – it was a bad decision, and it went terribly wrong. Also, he got rid of the receivers that I think his quarterback actually trusted. Like, he trusted De'Ami Brown. If you watched the end of the year, he was letting the ball loose. He was trusting. He trusts Noah Brown. Noah Brown is always injured, but he trusts him. He'll throw it to him. He never really had trust with Luke McCaffrey, so he was hoping that would develop. And I think that hurt JD early on, like this early on this year. So I have great faith that he'll be good. He'll get back to everything that we saw. I'm not really afraid of injuries. I play football. Everybody play football. Hey, look, man, you're going to get injured.
Yeah.
Okay? As long as it's not catastrophic, get back on the field when you can. Hey, yo, I'm really good with where you're at.
Appreciate the phone call, Marvin. Yeah, I think he brings up some good points there. I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm overly worried about the injuries either. The Terry thing that he talked about as well, he was gonna get a payday regardless. I can understand the people that are frustrated that, you know, maybe he's trying to ask for a little bit too much, but obviously I was on the other side of that. I just wish they would have gotten that done. I think sometimes what happens, you can drive a hard bargain when you're playing this game on paper, on a spreadsheet, on Madden. But in real life, there are more factors than just, is this guy worth this X amount of dollars or not? And I think when they went through that negotiation, they failed to factor in some of the other things. Or maybe they did and they miscalculated it. Like, regardless of what you think the play was, I think the play warranted a payday. We could talk about what that payday was and the numbers, which isn't as consequential right now. But I think one of the things that they didn't factor in well enough was how much of the heart and soul of this franchise Terry McLaurin was, and for him not to be around during training camp, for him to, look, even though I was on the Terry side, I didn't like some of the tactics that he was using. I didn't love the Eastern Motors press conference. I didn't love sometimes him waltzing out right after practice to have everybody chant his name. Even though I love him signing autographs for the fans, he generally does care about those things. He wasn't rolling out there to sign autographs for the fans just to be a great dude like he always is. He was understanding, letting them know, hey, this is how much I mean to the fan base, pay me. I didn't necessarily love some of those tactics, but at the same point, you've got to try to do what you can to get that payday. So that whole situation, I do think, played a factor in some of how the season went. At the same point, you know, he's not the major reason, like Mitch Tischler said. That's a bullet point on part of why this season's gone, why it's gone. It's not the one that's bolded, underlined, highlighted, italicized. Not the number one reason. It's part of it, but it's not the major one. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Jaden Daniels, after year two, after he's been shut down for the final three games, what do you make of the season this year? And after this season, now having a full, essentially season and a half in terms of games, but two full seasons to evaluate him, do you feel differently after this year, drastically from what you did after what he did last year, taking his team to the NFC Championship? 800-636-1067. You're listening to Overtime on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up until 10 o'clock. Right now, talking about Jaden Daniels, 800-636-1067, if you'd like to hop in. As his season's finished after this year, you feeling differently about him? If so, are you feeling drastically different? How confident are you he can get back to the level of play we saw last year leading this team to an NFC Championship game? Will is in Fairfax. Will, what's going on?
Not much. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great, man.
Hey, so I'm not worried about Jaden Daniels' development. I don't remember a quarterback that came off a rookie year where he had less help going to his second year than he did his first. I think that one of the biggest mistakes they did was the whole Debo for Zadeus swap. Debo is a fine tool. Not what Jaden Daniels needed. He needed a receiver in that slot, and I think if they're able to find something there going forward, it'll be great for him. Not to say that Debo isn't great. He is, but it's not what Jaden Daniels needs. He doesn't need a gimmick. He needs a weapon. Second of all, I love Bill. I think Bill's going to be a decent running back. But we need a tier one running back. We need someone that strikes fear. And whether we find someone in the free agent market, which might be hard, but drafting a running back in the first round, drafting Love out of Notre Dame, that's a guy that was a wide receiver, turned running back, shown the consistency, shown durability, shown grit. I think giving someone that can truly strike fear, what all the other top-tier quarterbacks in this league have, Goff, Stafford, not Mahomes, but Mahomes is Mahomes, those top-tier quarterbacks have that weapon in the backfield that says, I can't just play seven guys in a zone and see if the quarterback runs or not.
Appreciate the phone call, Will. So I think he brings up some really good points. By the way, he talks about Mahomes. Want to know part of the Chiefs' struggles this year and why that team wasn't able to get to where they've been for the last however long Mahomes has been the starter? No run game. He was their run game, which is what I'm talking about with Jaden. You got to be able to help him out with a run game. So I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of a listener right now here in that phone call. And I'm guessing there's a few people that are going, man, he's asking for a lot. That's a lot of stuff, right? A number two receiver to go along with Debo or potentially in place of Debo, a number one running back. And I don't know that you can do that. No. He's spot on. That's what this whole process is about. Jaden Daniels is not getting paid $70, $80 million right now. He's not. He will be in 4 years. He's not right now. That was the whole point of this offseason. That's some of the frustration I had with Adam Peters this offseason. Now's not the time to bargain hunt. Now's not the time to save a few extra bucks. You've got the money to spend. Go spend it. You're not going to have the money to spend when Jaden Daniels is getting paid like one of the top quarterbacks in the league. That's when you have to say, do I need to save $5, $6 million here on Terry so that I can maybe give it somewhere else? And look at what the Patriots did. I get the record. I get all that stuff. I understand the schedule for them. I get all that. They outbid for Milton Williams. They outbid somebody. I think it was Carolina. Was about to sign him, and they said, no, we'll up that. Probably overpaid for Milton Williams, frankly. Probably did. He's made a difference for him. They said, you know what? We'll go get Stephon Diggs. And yes, I understand that some of this is, and Milton Williams doesn't fall in this category, but Diggs would fall into the old person category, like we talked about with Bobby Wagner and those sorts of things. I get that. Overpriced and maybe not worth the value. Now's not the time when you have to fully worry about value. You've got money to spend. Now's when you can go out and say, this guy's probably worth $7, $8 million. I'll give him 12. Now's when I can afford to do that. Right now. Once he's getting paid top dollar, that's when you have to be a little more frugal. That's when you have to be a little more careful with the money you're doling out. Not to say that you should be reckless. Not to say that you should just go out and sign anybody. Not to say you should go give Albert Haynesworth contracts to some person that doesn't deserve it. No. I'm not saying that. But if there was an offseason, and by the way, this constitutes for this offseason, this constitutes for the following offseason, before he gets paid, and before he's on the precipice of getting paid, this is the time frame where you have the quarterback on a rookie deal. It's a cheat code. It's one of the things that you can exploit in the NFL with the salary cap. Your quarterback is going to get paid a lot of money someday if he's elite, which I still believe that Jaden Daniels is. So when he's not getting paid elite top dollar money, that's when you take advantage and spend the money elsewhere.
I'll just say, like, You don't even have to be elite to get paid top dollar as a quarterback anymore.
Correct. I mean, we're
And if we don't pay him, someone else will.
Yeah, I mean, look at Tua, right? Look at what they could be strapped with Tua if they have to cut him. The point is, when your quarterback is on a rookie deal, that's not the time to be extra careful with your money. That's when you can go spend it. Now, to Adam Peters' credit, part of the issue for this team is, while we all looked at it and said he had millions and millions and millions to spend, part of the issue for this team compared to others was there was so much overturn and so much that he had to replace that even though he had a large number, he had to spend more, he had to spend it on more people than what other people, what other teams have had, right? Say, you know, you have $100 million, another team might have similar, but they only need to fill 20 spots, 15 spots. Washington had to redo almost half the roster and was still doing some of that, right? So that's the other side for Adam Peters. But there's no excuse because, frankly, he brought up a great point. Last caller, one of the selling points about why we were so thrilled about where this team was at and where they were going to be going, one of the selling points was this is the worst roster that Jaden Daniels is going to play with because this is his rookie year. We overturned a lot of the roster, but this is the worst roster he's going to play with. I disagree. This right here better be the worst roster he plays with. This one, year two. Because it's not better than last year's, in my opinion. There's some improvements. There's also some downgrades. No edge rushers. Dorrance Armstrong was fantastic. Dietrich Wise is okay. I get not paying Dante Fowler, but he had 10 sacks last year. The wide receiver core was a joke from the beginning. Because you look at the guys that they kept. They had five receivers on the initial 53. Terry McLaurin. Deebo Samuel. Fine. Right, that's an upgrade at number two receiver or weapon because I really don't view him as a number two receiver because if you just want him to go out there and run routes, well, then you're not using Deebo Samuel correctly. So, okay, improve there in weapons. But after that, Luke McCaffrey, Noah Brown, Jalen Lane. Let's talk about those guys real quick. Noah Brown, hurt all the time, was hurt in OTAs. We thought he was done, right? We thought he was done during OTAs. Hurt during training camp. Didn't practice, and then consequently hurt during the regular season. Luke McCaffrey, third-round draft pick, didn't do anything last year, started to get more opportunities this year, and actually started to make some plays. So credit to Luke McCaffrey, but still, that's your third or fourth receiver. Jalen Lane, love him. He's a Hokie. Love Jalen Lane. It's a fourth-round draft pick for a reason. Great returner. You saw that immediately. He's got work to do as a receiver. Those were your receivers. So, God forbid someone goes down with injury, which, by the way, Terry, injury, Noah Brown, injury, Luke McCaffrey, injury. They've been bit bad with the injury bug. But I think Mitch Tischler said it best. They hoped for the best, didn't plan for the worst. And yeah, they got the short end of the stick this year with the injuries. But they were not in a position to win football games late into the year this year. They just weren't. And that falls on Adam Peters. And he's got an opportunity to correct it this offseason. This is the time when you go out and build up the roster. This is when you do it. And they were left with a very empty cupboard. But going into year three, you don't get that excuse anymore. Because now you've had two full offseasons, two full drafts to get this thing in order. So going into next year, I don't even buy some of those excuses right now, by the way. But going into next year, you don't get any of those excuses. I don't want to hear, well, Ron, nope, that 3 years. Get it figured out and put a better roster out there because now's the time to do it. Because in a couple of years, assuming everything goes correctly, Jaden Daniels is going to be making a whole heck of a lot of money and you're going to have to make some of these tough decisions. You're going to have to find a way to save some dollars. Now's not the time to do that. Now is not. 800-636-1067. Want to get to more of your phone calls. Jaden Daniels, after the season, how do you feel? Do you feel drastically different about him? What is your confidence level he gets back to that level he played at last year? You're listening to Overtime on The Fan. This is another banger, Chris. You found my playlist for Christmas. With the exception of a few of them in there.
You like these pop girls, though. Like,
I do.
The Taylor and
Ariana Grande right here. Yeah. You got me. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Talking about the Commanders, Jaden Daniels. You feel worse. You feel drastically different going into next year after this year for Jaden. How confident are you that he gets back to the level of play we saw last year? Jaime's in Manassas. Jaime, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing great.
Let me talk about Terry McLaurin first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally on his side. I don't think he handled it. I'm not in favor of saying that he don't handle it well when he was holding it up, holding out. Everybody's talking about Brandon Ayuk coming here to play. I remember when he was holding out with the 49ers, he was actually in the Commanders training camp taking videos. That's a way you don't handle the situation where you're holding out. Terry McLaurin didn't do any of that. He deserved all the money. And I remember people talking about that, Terry McLaurin is greedy because the offer that he ended up signing for is the same offer that the Adam Peters made from the beginning. So that means that he put a hard line on the sand and said, I'm not budging from here. He was not even willing to meet in the middle or put a counter offer out there. So I think that's what started to derail the season. When it comes to Jaden Daniels, I think he's going to be perfectly fine. This kid had a lot of injuries this year. He never missed a lot of practice time. I don't agree that the starters shouldn't play in the preseason. I think they should play a little bit in the preseason and get the things rolling and all of that. Because then he starts getting injured, and then he starts missing a lot of practices, a lot of games, non-contact. And then it started to derail the season. He's going to be perfectly fine. But we have to do a better job of getting more playmakers. I agree totally with you about Noah Brown. He's a nice guy. He's a talented guy. But he's never on the field. And we cannot count on him. So we have to find a replacement. We have to have better playmakers. We have to establish a running game. We never established a running game to help Jaden Daniels. But he's going to be perfectly fine. We're going to have a great season next year. He will do, and he's doing everything that he can to be the best version of himself every time he steps on the field. I'm 100% sure of that.
Appreciate it, Jaime. Yeah. So the interesting part with the Noah Brown thing, I actually think they might have a Noah Brown-Deebo Samuel hybrid replacement on the roster. I think Treylon Burks can do some of that stuff. He's a bigger receiver. Can block on the outside, and I think he's a better run-after-catch guy like Deebo than he is pure route runner. So I'd be curious if he can do a little bit of both of their jobs going into next year. I don't want to set ridiculous expectations because he's been a bust as a first-round pick, but I'd be curious to see if he can fill some of that role. Not really sure. You haven't seen tons from him. Obviously, the one-handed catch was spectacular. And he's been doing that basically his entire life. You saw videos going back to high school of him doing that. So the talent is there. It's just seeing if you can unlock some of that. But, you know, if he's the fifth receiver on your roster and your depth chart, then fine. I just can't rely on him to be wide receiver three. And again, that's the thing. Can a guy be that? Sure. Do I want to rely on that? Maybe not. Similar to the Jaden thing, right? Can he go win you every game almost single-handedly by himself, putting the offense on his back? Sure. Do I want him doing that all the time, or can he always be relied on to do that? No, that's putting a little bit too much on his plate. So that, to me, is something that they'll have to figure out. But, you know, I think part of the issue, too, was Adam Peters did try to put together a winning roster. You know, last segment I was saying that he didn't spend. He did do some of that. Maybe it's more so he made the wrong decisions in what he was going after. I've been vocal that the $15 million for Javon Kinlaw was not anything that I would have done. He's been pretty good, and so maybe that's a fine contract. But the issue that they've run into, Lattimore trade, that did not work out, and now you're out resources for that. The Tunsil deal to me, the trade for Laremy Tunsil, is fantastic. and I did not like their offseason up until that Laremy Tunsil trade. And I actually like their draft class for this year. I like what they did with that. But it's also something where you have to question some of the moves that they made and ways that they messed up or misevaluated or misjudged. Brandon Coleman, when he's on the field, I think is pretty good. He's definitely not noticeable because he's a tomato can on the offensive line where he's just horrendous. And you're like, yeah, get that guy off the field. I don't feel that way when I watch Brandon Coleman. I'm not saying that he deserves the job over Chris Paul necessarily. I'm not one that's a expert in the offensive line play, and Chris Paul's been fine. But one issue that I have with some of the moves is similar to what you see in baseball, right? When you've got a star prospect coming down the pipeline. So for the Nationals, when Eli Willits is ready to roll in a couple of years, former number one overall pick this past season, when Eli Willits is ready to roll as a shortstop in a couple of years, that's not the time to go out and sign Dansby Swanson. You know, that's not the time to go out and sign a shortstop and block that guy from getting on the field. That's not the time to do it. And when you look at what they did with Brandon Coleman, Laremy Tunsil trade, I think, is fantastic. Laremy Tunsil has been one of the best left tackles in football. No issue there. Drafting Josh Connerly, no issue there either. I think as the season's gone on, he's gotten better. And I think going forward, he's actually going to be a plus for this team. And I think he could be a pretty good tackle in the future. Might take a little bit of time, but I would not be surprised at all if we're talking about Josh Connerly as a building block for this team in the next couple of years. The problem is you just relegated a top 100 pick to the bench because it didn't work out exactly how you evaluated Brandon Coleman being able to play at left guard. We're having discussions in the preseason, training camp about, oh man, they might have a future Pro Bowler at the left guard spot in Brandon Coleman. Maybe he does still in the future, maybe some. But I don't love the fact that he's just sitting on the sideline now. That's a top 100 pick. It's a guy that needs to be out there playing. That's part of the issue, too, with for the people that say, like, oh, the cupboard was left bare by Ron Rivera. I completely agree. You had six top 100 picks to replenish some of that last year. Jaden Daniels, home run, A++++, great job. Johnny Newton, eh. He can play. He's not impactful for someone drafted early in the second round at that position, not doing a whole lot for me. Mikey Sanders still. We'll give you a B. We'll give you a B. How about that? Really good last season. Makes plays on the outside. You've tried to continue to play him on the inside. Hasn't necessarily worked out. But at least he's playing for you. Okay. Ben Sinnott. Eh. Right? Eh. A second or third tight end that blocks and doesn't really catch passes? I'm good on that. Brandon Coleman, like we talked about. I thought he was solid last year at left tackle. I would have been fine if they went into this year with him at left tackle, matter of fact. So I don't know that that's not a hit, but he's not on the field this year. Basically by your own doing in a lot of ways. And then Luke McCaffrey. For a third-round receiver, not every third-round receiver is going to turn into Terry McLaurin, but my general thought process when I draft guys on day one and two, first round, day one, second and third round, day two, I expect them to be able to contribute. Day one guys are supposed to be impact guys that can start and be the building blocks of your team. Second rounders are supposed to be close to that. Third rounders are supposed to be guys that can start, and hopefully they have upside to potentially get to those sort of star-level players. Well, I just listed you six guys in the top 100, and how many of them are impact guys? Two? So that's where the Ron Rivera, oh, cupboard bear thing, that's out the window, Adam. You had to put that stuff together. I like what they did this year in the draft, but again, going into next year with some of the trades, what's going to happen in next year's draft? I don't know. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in, want to talk about the NFL, look at the playoff picture. There's some clinching scenarios this weekend. Also, if we can, we'll sneak in a little college football playoff talk. You're listening to Overtime on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.